Christ among us.
He is and always will be. Welcome to our kitchen table.
All right, well, we're again going to talk about zeal. I'm sorry we're going to, but it's one of the most important things to understand within the spiritual life. And you and I, we were talking before recording that it's important to somehow approach the zeal from different kinds of areas of our life, like from work, church life, regular life, home, and if some people have kids still, from how kids approach, or how do you approach it with the kids, this zeal. And Saint Theophan, we are on page 27, and Saint Theophan says a beautiful thing, and it's like these saints were taught to say, or like to catch readers' attention with their first sentence, and then they continue to explain the whole paragraph or more paragraphs. So Saint Theophan says about the zeal, he continues actually, "One must do everything for the glory of God in defiance of sin which dwells in us. Without this, we will do everything out of habit because it seems proper, because this is the way it has always been done, or the way others do it." And it's a powerful sentence, just because we can look back in our life, and I will be different, but when I hear people when they say, like, "Well, my Christian education stopped at ECF when I was high school, that's when it ended, and it was great, you know, I learned a lot of things, and this is what I do." They don't really explain what their prayer rule is, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But you can sense that it's not always the greatest. You know, you can sense it's some kind of a habit that was just instilled with them. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for that habit. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize that throughout the whole day of our life, we are fighting sin. And as in the gospel, it says that the kingdom of God is taken by force. And it's not once, and it's not every liturgy, but it's every minute, every second that we have to fight against our sin, against our passions. And that's what Saint Theophan tells us here. You know, it's without, if we are just going to do some little habit, it's not going to get us further. Mm-hmm. You know, what he says is that we must care what we do, and we must care how we approach our worldly life and how our spiritual life or church life influences this worldly life.
Mm-hmm. And also the most powerful part of this whole, the whole two sentences there for me is the "one must do everything for the glory of God in defiance of the sin which dwells in us." And it is like you're fighting everything that you think is, in quotations, human nature. Mm-hmm. But it's also just this sin that dwells in us because of our fallen nature. You know, it's like the defiance of the sin which dwells in us, we have to fight all the time against our daily inclinations. Mm-hmm. Or our minutely or secondly inclinations that, like, we should be doing, like, we want to do this naturally, but that's not the right thing to be doing.
Right.
You know, if we want to glorify God and we want to attain this heavenly kingdom, we have to go against this fallen nature and turn upside down everything that we think is normal.
Sure, yeah.
And
everything the world thinks is normal.
Yeah, especially, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And especially nowadays, it's so important to stand out and really become a warrior of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we always think that everything will be okay. And, well, coming from Slovakia, we were under the influence of Russians and communism, and I always remember my father talking about these secret nuns and monks during communism who who prayed and lived their life fullest. And their monastery was closed, but they lived at their home. Mm-hmm. The room was their cell, and that's how they lived their life. But then when communism ended, it was so powerful. Like these warriors for Christ who could have been taken away any day, fought for something greater. Mm-hmm. And they won. And because of them, we have monasteries in Slovakia and further. But they've taken this care of how much influence from the world comes into their life and thoughts and act, even their own actions.
Mm-hmm. And they've probably taken the influence of what they have out of habit, what seems proper, the way others do it, and they've transformed it to something God pleasing.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And like, if I may, then this next sentence, I think you have it highlighted too. You want to talk
about? Do you understand you?
No, that's not true. And it says here, we must do all that we can. Otherwise, we will do some things and neglect others. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, it's like, we'll neglect our spiritual life, or we'll neglect our prayer life, and we'll give attention to worldly things that we would rather just give our attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that we need to choose that time.
Yeah.
What will be neglected? Will our spiritual life be neglected, or the worldly life, mm-hmm. which passes?
Yeah.
And we have to understand this, that at the end of our life, we are just these sojourners on this earth. And especially we are Christians, and there is a life afterwards with the saints if we live the saintly life, or at least if we try to live the saintly life. But if we, as I said in my last homily, like if we pay attention, or we just don't, if we waste our time with worldly things and we postpone other that actually matter, that give us life at the end of our life, mm-hmm. then we lose it. And that's a scary thought. So, I don't know. I think, at least for me, with this writing, is I'd rather neglect everything else and just pray.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a fight.
Yeah.
You have to, mm-hmm. go against what you think is like coming naturally in your soul.
Right. And we have to understand that both you and I work. And we have to be part of the worldly life, and it would be the greatest thing if we didn't have to work and we could just stay home and pray and just be indulged in the writings of others. But it's not possible. So I think for us Christians, it is important to create some kind of a filter where we pay, or create a filter and be watchful what we let in, what we let out. Mm-hmm. So that's my thought. So now the Saint Theophan continues with and gives us a question, really. The question is, now the question arises, how this fire is ignited, the Christian life or Christian fire or for active zeal. Any go ahead.
And who produces it? And like, where does it come from?
Yeah. And of course, with our participation of action of grace, mm-hmm. which comes from God. And he really makes this, before he explains this soul portion, he says, Christian life is not natural life. For me, it is very interesting for him to say this at the beginning of explaining basically the whole paragraph. Why? Because he hits it right on the top of the nail, mm-hmm. Like, Christian life is not natural life. And why is it not natural life? Because we are fallen mm-hmm. because of Adam and Eve. And anything that comes through us, we think it's natural, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, everything good that Christ gives us, that comes to us, is natural in the sense that if you are Christians, it's natural, but for us it's not. And that's why we, many times, if you read the gospel, if you read the fathers, if you hear the homilies, we sometimes have this disdain, like, what did he just say?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that's not what I know. That's not how we should live life. Mm-hmm. You know, the world tells us to live it this way,
mm-hmm.
and now you're telling me to live that way.
Right. And like we were just talking about above there, like, it's not natural life in our... It's not natural life in the life that we are born into and live.
Right.
It would be natural life if we were... We're Christ's image, you know, if we weren't fallen, if we didn't have this whole world of sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think it was St. John Crunch that he says that we were created for beatitude, to live in beatitude. We were created for beatitude to live in beatitude, to for beatitude.
Mm.
And this beatitude is the blessedness. This is really compared to zeal
mm-hmm.
within Christ. So we were created for God and his image. And that's what we should yearn to return back to, is in his image, which Adam has kind of dirty it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you have something highlighted there.
Yes. Well, he asks these questions. How is this fire ignited? Who produces it? Then he kind of goes into, this is the way it begins or is first aroused. And he talks mm-hmm. about that the...
The parable of solar, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, if...
Well, it's a little different because he's talking about the actual seed here and not the ground that it falls on.
Right, yeah.
But...
I gave myself a note because it would be good for a homily.
Okay.
That's why I was...
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But he gives the example of a seed
mm-hmm.
and the sprout is hidden within the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And what it needs is the warmth and the moisture sure. to mm-hmm. make that seed sprout into and, you know, to come... from being hidden inside.
Right. Yeah.
And so so after that, you know, little
image. I'm sorry, I skipped over it.
No, I know,
didn't think about it.
It's good to
come back, yeah.
Envision it and see, like, yeah, okay, like if you see your heart as the seed, or, you know, your life as this tiny seed that's closed,
mm-hmm.
you need God's grace and, like, his warmth and, you know, holiness to mm-hmm. come and penetrate your soul sure. and your heart.
Yeah. I like the imagery, and I will even dare to continue with mm-hmm. your example, is that, well, if you are the seed, then you need to have good soil, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have good soil, what the seed, no matter how much in the energy and light and moisture it's given to,
it can grow. Yeah.
So, and as I said, like, before, this filter is the soil. You know, like, whatever we let in inside, that outside of us is the soil.
Okay.
If you are, I don't know. Sorry, it just came to me. But, like, you know, like, people hanging out with people and they are bad influence, then
mm-hmm.
that's the bad soil.
Yeah, okay, so you're, like, filtering out the things around you.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. You know. You allow the good things
right.
in there.
Sorry,
I understand what you mean.
Yeah, I jumped there. Just got me excited for the example.
Well, so after he gives this example, one thing I told Miron that I really loved, the next sentence. Sorry, we're just, like, literally reading today, but there's so much good
stuff.
Some
podcasts will be good, some podcasts will be a little bit rougher.
Super rough, which is today. We've got, this is like...
We're just super tired.
Yeah. And anyhow, so his next sentence, so also in us, so after he gives this beautiful image of the seed and the sprout inside the seed, he says, so also in us the divine life is aroused when the Spirit of God penetrates into the heart and places there the beginning of life according to the Spirit. Then this is my favorite part. And cleanses and gathers into one the darkened and broken features of the image of God. And it's that was such a powerful, you know, thought to me, because we are all created in the image of God, and we are all this darkened, broken image. And when we allow that grace and warmth to come into our soul, it like lets some light in and maybe helps us reveal that little bit more, like an extra little piece of light that we can see where we could be in Christ's image.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it's beautiful.
It's so cool.
You explain it better than I would. It's super cool, but it's a process, as you said. So at the beginning, we can see just a little bit, but then each step towards that little light,
English
exposes more things, and we shouldn't be scared of it.
Yeah,
it will be scary, and we'll be like, oh my goodness,
yeah,
what am I doing?
Well, and but one more thing.
Go ahead.
It's saying here a desire and free seeking are aroused. So, like once that little light is coming in, then you have this, you know, kind of excitement or wanting to seek that. But then, the next thing says, then grace descends, and in parentheses, through the mysteries, and.
That, what are the mysteries?
Yeah, what are the holy mysteries of the church? And let me take a wild guess that St. Theophan is going to go through those. Yes. But baptism is one of those, and that's one of the things that we'll be talking about like in a couple of weeks here. But he's pointing directly to the gifts that the church gives us to acquire grace.
Yeah.
And we must use those gifts to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we can't just, we have to pray to God for his grace, and God will give us his grace when he sees that it's fit. But like we have to use the gift of reconciliation.
Yes.
Like that is a beautiful mystery and and gift that the church gives us to help us remove that sin and maybe shed that light a little bit more on our soul.
Yeah.
You know?
And others. I mean, baptism, confession, wedding,
Holy Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think even just for right now, before we start talking about baptism, we just can just focus on Holy Eucharist and confession.
Yeah.
And just think about how much you can reveal through confession about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like people try to always go to these retreats, like get to know yourself, and that's how you get to know yourself, your feelings.
Yeah.
But if you go to your confession, you know, it's not about penance. And I think this was destroyed over this image of repentance that. You know, you go to confession and you're gonna get penance for your sins. It's wrong thinking that penance is really
medicine, healing,
just to get you on the right track back to for not to do those things.
Yeah,
and whatever sins you have,
right? No. And the more often you're going, the more aware. I don't mean to go off on this but your dad's always saying, Father Miron's always saying, like, the more you're aware of your sins, the more you go for confession, the more you do examination of conscience, the more you are aware of your daily sins, you can dig deeper. You know, you're always saying you can find that root that you can pull out, but then you think you see yourself as even more sinful because you keep uncovering more and more and more things that are going on, you know.
But what's the final result?
God's grace and mercy.
And
forgiveness.
And it might not come this year, it might not come in 10 years, but...
holiness.
But the holiness will come. And maybe it will never come, but through that, like, the children will be sanctified. And they'll have a beautiful life in Christ. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. You know, even the saints, they probably didn't know that they were saintly
yeah.
until they died.
Mm-hmm.
But if I may say one more thing about this, is that to seek is to really, like my father said today at the homily, we need to have a spiritual father for to know where to go,
mm-hmm.
how to realize what is sin and what is not sin,
right.
and go from there. But let's continue with this book. We will not finish this chapter, just FYI.
We'll have one more day of zeal.
One more day of zeal, just because these two last paragraphs really summarize the whole section. But what I have highlighted here is one must pray for this and be ready to receive this, for this zeal. And
true.
Mm-hmm.
Knock and it will be open to you. Ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so seek and you will find. So Saint Theophan is just quoting scripture without quoting scripture, and he says, "Well, if you want to live in Christ, you need to ask Him." It's like this unending circle.
Yeah.
You know, we need to beg Christ to be with Him and to be within us and to acquire things. For example, like zeal,
mm-hmm.
and He will give it to us. And then Nazare again, same yeah. thing.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, he's saying, let no one think that he himself can give birth to such a power of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can't do it on our own. We have to ask.
Yeah.
We have to. That has to be like an intention mm-hmm. in our life. Like that is like what we're seeking.
Yeah, it's God's will, but He's merciful, He's loving,
yeah.
and if we ask for it, we will receive. He's waiting for us to ask.
Yeah.
He's not this stubborn guy who is just going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to give it to you. You didn't ask me 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know what saint said it. I'm just reading. I think it was maybe Paisi. I don't know. But he said that even just the thought of us asking, God already is giving it to us. How beautiful that is.
Yeah.
Just the thought that, like, I'm going to ask for this,
mm-hmm.
and even I'm praying, and it's already granted to us.
Yeah.
Like, God is just like, just have it.
Mm-hmm.
You ask for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask more.
Right. Like, he loves us so genuinely.
Yeah.
He knows us.
And I have to say one thing. My father and I and my mom, we did podcast yesterday. same Theophan, but to... spiritual life from different book, and I don't know how we got to the discussion. My mind is not clear right now. I think I'm due for a nap, so I'm sorry. But we were talking about that. Please forgive me. I can't quote right now, but Saint Theophan said in this kind of manner that, you know, if we don't pray, if we don't ask for anything, if we kind of like put God in a box and put it on a shelf until something, a tragedy hits, or
mm-hmm.
it just comes for a weekend, I was like, okay, weekend is for God.
Or something good happens and then you're thanking Him and then you forget about Him.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
and he says somehow it came to it that God doesn't know us. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. My father was talking about the creation of Adam and Eve, and when they've sinned, they hit themselves,
mm-hmm.
okay, and they put the leaves around themselves, and God didn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
All-knowing God, who knows and sees everything,
mm-hmm.
didn't know where they are. It was a very big nuance, like. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then my father brought up a good point. Well, they sinned. They were in sin. They went against the only one commandment that Christ gave them.
Mm-hmm.
One. We have hundreds of commandments now.
Mm-hmm.
But they only had one commandment. And God didn't know them. They didn't. He didn't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know them. How scary is that?
Very scary.
You know? I'm sorry that I went back, but like somehow it fit in my brain. Again, I'm not...
No, it's a good example.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
It is scary.
Mm-hmm.
So like we need to really ask for things, and we need to be to have the zeal to ask
and realize our dependence on God.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If you are dependent, we are nothing.
Yeah.
We are, as Saint Theophilus says, if you are dependent on Christ, then we are this drowsy, feeble, lifeless, neither hot and cold, and this kind of life is not a life at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we must become hot for Christ.
Yeah.
No matter what. I'm happy because we skipped this paragraph,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to include it somehow, and should I put my trust in God more? Anyways, I'm sorry this podcast was a little bit rough. Next time I'll take a nap before we do a podcast.
Mm.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll hope that you'll join us next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So through the prayers of our Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us.